Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm Bill Lamoss. Welcome to American Patriots Have Responded. I'm your host and founder of Citizens Against Terrorism. You can find us at citizensagainstterrorism.org. I ask you to go to citizensagainstterrorism.org and look at our page. If you would like to join us, go to the top of the page and click on the Facebook rally point. It will take you to our Facebook page, and at that point, you can hit join. Follow the directions after you're accepted. We do scan you before we even take you in. If you're accepted, you'll get directions on how to join the actual group. We are a boots-on-the-ground organization. We go out and we help with the police. We help them in these riots. We help with natural disasters. We do a lot of things in our communities, and we're setting up community centers as soon as we can to start serving the communities that we're in. Today's show is sponsored by Jeff's Sporting Goods at the Green Roof Plaza, just north of London, Kentucky, on Laurel Road. Jeff has trailer accessories, archery supplies, guns, ammo, fishing tackle, and more. Call 606-877-2442 for more information. That's 606-877-2442. It has been 2 days, and the self-proclaimed revolutionaries have not shown up to lay siege on the White House. Oh, where can they be? On Saturday, September 17th, they could not come out and play in the rain. Then again yesterday, they did not show. Some reports have said that the Adbusters were told by BLM that they were not Marxists and to stay out of their business because the BLM and Antifa are Marxists. But our co-host Deborah found something different that we initially missed in briefing number 5. I want you to listen to this. Deborah, would you share that with us and explain what you found?
I sure will. And nice being on the show with you again. And thank you for having me every day. Thank you very much. Okay.
Start, I want to tell everybody, if I suddenly disappear off the air, we are having computer trouble here. So if I come off the air, I will try to get back on. But otherwise, it's going to be up to you, kid. So you've got the outline, and I'm sure you can do it. I got faith in you.
I got show notes. I can pretend to be Bill Moss, founder and host, for a day. I hope that doesn't happen, Bill. You better not do that to me. But I'm excited because, I want to stress, let's not get complacent. That acquiescing, that complacency that we've felt the last 6, 7, 8 months here as this thing has gotten worse and worse. I want to point to the fire map that shows everyone go, if you can, open up and Google the avalanche fire map put out by the National Weather Service. It's pointing arrows to the east. Half of the country is lit up. We are down a little bit. 20, 30 fires, active fires from the Pacific Ocean and into South Dakota. But I want to warn everybody that this looks like a trick to me, or just let's put it this way. What I found is in briefing number 1, they were going to lay a siege for 50 days and sustain it, dig in, hold your ground. From day 1, September 17th, their anniversary of the Occupy Wall Street, to the election day. Uh-huh. But then we started seeing a little pushback a little bit of verbiage that talked about, hey, maybe not. Maybe we'll get stronger as election day progresses. And then in 3, it even got stronger. And we could make sure that activists turn up in D.C., in ever-increasing numbers as Election Day approaches. Now, I don't know if they were losing ground, but you're going to have to describe kind of what you think there. Number 4, not only in Washington are we going to take siege and grab federal buildings and so on and so forth and all this commotion, destruction, whatever, but we're going to get to the White House kind of eventually. Now, it looks like they've either been backpedaling or they're basically saying, hey, you know, we're not going to tell you what the heck we're going to do. We're going to keep the gas and we're going to pretend we're going to be there on the 17th. I don't know, Bill, help me out. What do you think here? Because I've got something here on number 5, and you can maybe explain what you think. It says, and to pop up sieges in front of the federal buildings across the nation and as the election approaches to the White House in Washington, D.C. That looks like a whole turnaround. 5 and 6 came out just in the last week that I spotted it. Can you talk to us about this?
Well, Deb, you know, I kind of noticed when the crowds were forming on the 17th, they were a small amount. I don't think they had the turnout they thought they would in D.C. at that point. The crowds out in the West and the Heartland, like where we are and on over, they're busy doing their thing there right now. They want to destroy those cities as much as they can. They've got another, 48 days before they have to be in Washington, D.C. I know some of those leaders had a meeting. Don't ask me how I know, but I know. And, you know, I believe maybe they decided, hey, we're going to keep up going our way and just keep lighting fires as we go. We're going to keep wrecking, you know, cities. Now, this plan did also, if you remember, call for pop-up sieges all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
I watched live feed today where the guy said, there was nobody protesting in Portland last night. Well, Deborah, you watched that with me.
Yeah, there wasn't, but they had lines. They had some problems, but not a lot of people. But they had 7 live streams going on our different places that we find these streams. I think freight brokerage, Steve had shut down. I don't see a lot of people, but the streamers were all there. I think that, you know, if you're in battle, you're not going to tell your enemy what you're doing. And I think these BLM and Antifa people are pretty doggone smart. And they're being guided by extremely wealthy, smart, and devious people. They are not stupid. And I certainly don't think they're going to show up on the 17th of September and say, here we are, we're going to plant our butts down and let you arrest us and put us away so we can't join in on the 50 days of fun we're going to have.
I think part of it, too, was if you remember, though, they were the police did have to declare illegal assembly there. And they did use, I believe, some type of gas or smoke or something to disperse the crowd there at the ICE building. And that's been a target of theirs ever since. The whole plan is to lay siege on the White House, but to build that as they go. And the other part, like you said, was, you know, a lot of people's not going to go up there and just plop down for 50 days and just, you know, be rested and stuff like that. They're going to wait until it's closer so they can try to do damage at the right time. But at the same time, I mean, you know, they could give up. I mean, it wouldn't bother me none. But I don't think we should quite assume this is over yet. There's been too much hatred, too much vitriol. We watched the videos last night, the streets filled with radicals carrying AR-15s and pistols in Louisville. It's far from over, and we're going to talk about some of the violence that's happened around the country just in less than 24 hours after a while. But I think the whole thing is I just think they couldn't pull the people they thought they could pull. And you got to know, these adbusters that's, you know, supposed to be pulling this together and calling it a jazz fest and all of that and a peaceful assembly. We went through that over the last few nights discussing that. And we know that what they do is anything but. And they like to stir the pot. They like to seduce the violent groups into acting while they keep their hands clean. They don't want to get their hands dirty. They don't want to end up in jail. And I think maybe after the interview that Attorney Barr had with Attorney General Barr had with the apparent on his appearance with Mark Levin, I believe they realized they may be charged with sedition and spend 20 years in jail. And I think that might be a backpedaling on Adbusters. But make no mistake, it won't be a backpedaling for these that are already out here doing this stuff. They're getting paid too well. They enjoy what they do. They're getting paid too well. These are thieves and thugs and looters and rioters. They have no conscience. Anybody that can kill an old woman or kill an old man or, you know, just shoot somebody down cold-blooded in the street unarmed like they did the man up in Portland with the prayer warriors. Anybody can do something like that. They're not going to worry about 20 years in jail. Because, I mean, you're looking at, you know, life sentence or maybe death penalty for some of the things they're already doing. So 20 years is a slap on the hand for them. So they're not going to be worried about that. So we can't just let our guard down and say, oh, well, it's eased up. It's going to ease up. We have to be vigilant. You know, it's always quietest before the storm. And, you know, if you live in tornado country like we do, it'll get real still. It'll get real still. And then all of a sudden this tornado will just come through and wreak havoc, taking lives, destroying buildings, you know, destroying forests. And that's what these people are doing. I guess you could call them tornadoes because they do all those things. They maim people. They, you know, they're cruel individuals. They haven't got a normal conscience like a normal person. They're criminals. Most of them has been let out of jail so they didn't get COVID, so they could go in the street and be in the middle of the street, you know, with 50,000, 100,000, 500,000 people. And, you know, I still don't understand the logic in letting somebody out of jail. And then when they get caught doing something like this, they take them and give them a ticket. And then they release them as long as they promise not to do it again. And then those people go out and do it again. They get a ticket. They're released. And they have to promise not to do it again. And there's been people arrested and released and arrested and released till they've probably got enough paper to make a phone book. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. But I think that, you know, the main thing is I think that these people from Adbusters, these are the instigators, not brave people. Adbusters aren't brave people. They're cowardly people. They're the guy that says, hit him, hit him, hit him, but is never going to jump into the fray.
That's right.
They're the guy that's going to bring his instrument, and he's going to blow his horn, you know, and he's going to, maybe somebody's going to bring some paint, and maybe they're going to do some graffiti, something that's a misdemeanor with a little fine. Maybe they might have to clean it back up, something like that. That's these people. These aren't people that have any spine to them. These Canadians that I'm talking about from Vancouver, British Columbia, they're lowlifes. That's all you can say about them. I'd love to have one of them call in on the show. Because I'd like to tell him what I think about him, but these people just don't have any sense of honor, any sense of pride in themselves. They can't have. You know, how can you call somebody into the streets and have them risk their lives and not walk out in the street with them? Now, Deb, you know I don't do that. If it's where we are, I go into the street. And I will continue on the streets as long as my legs will carry me. I can't understand people like this. They're capitalist. Now, there might have been a rift between BLM and Antifa because they're anti-capitalist, okay?
Right.
And they're communist, but they are not Marxist. And you've heard as well as me, you've heard more than one BLM leader get up and say, we're Marxists, okay?
Right.
And the thing that tickles me is the Teletubbies. You know who they are.
Oh, sure.
Antifa.
Absolutely.
And, they claim they're anti-fascist. But if you try to disagree with them, they become very fascist. You know, they claim to be anti-fascist, but yet it's their way or no way. They would rather kill you than let you be free. And that's what we're seeing in this country right now, folks. It ain't no exaggeration here. And we're going to give you an example in a little while of why it's no exaggeration. These people are out murdering people. And I guarantee you a lot of what we're going to tell you is going to be tied to this in the end, if it's ever found out. You got to remember, though, these are people hiding mom and dad's basement. They, you know, they live off mom and dad. They play their games in the daytime. They come out and destroy the cities at night. They don't give a damn what's going on outside of that basement in the daytime, if anybody's got a job or not. But as long as their basement's safe, they got a place to dwell, like cave dwellers. And their mentality's about the same. So these cave dwelling children living off the charity of their parents, I like to say mom and dad's tit, they have no respect for nothing. They've never worked for anything. They've never earned anything. If they've got kids, half of them don't know who the fathers are. Okay? And the fathers are probably all in jail. I mean, this is the type of people that we're talking about. These aren't the productive people, black or white. These aren't the people that are productive. The productive people, black or white, are sick of this. They're at their jobs, or they're trying to be at their jobs, and this is making it impossible for them to be. And they're going to keep pushing. They're going to keep pushing. They, you know, they're calling for a civil war. And again, this is not a civil war. This is terrorist incursion upon our country. Deb, you know, what do you think about that?
Well, I want to bring up a point about Antifa. They're my favorite group of all times. You know, the you said something about the Adbusters. They remind me of Horatio the Hornblower. They're going out there and throwing the bomb in the building and then standing back and watching it blow up. I've got to at least give credit to Antifa and BLM that they're at least out on the front lines. When you see the mug shots, it looks like somebody riddled them with rubber bullet holes. They look like hell. Just because of what they look like. And then you add all of those bullet marks and red marks and swollen eyes and lips and markings on their bodies and face. And they just look weird to me. And I also have to say, Bill, that when we don't work for something, when we don't earn it and we don't work hard for it, we don't care about it. And that is Antifa. They have not built this country. I saw a post I wanted you to comment on before you move on with the show, and because you have a stacked, packed show here. Antifa, I saw a post, and I don't know how real it is. I didn't vet it, but the Facebook post was hysterical because I felt bad. At the same time, I felt really good because this rioter that was arrested did a post on Facebook and he said, "What's going on here? My backers kept bailing me out. And then now I'm getting 10 years for damaging a federal building," or whatever he did. It wasn't explained, but he said, "This is effing BS that now I'm in jail. What the hell is this all about? And I'm in for 10 years. What do you say about that? Karma, dude. Tell me, Bill, what do you think?
I say the boys ate up with it. I mean, you go out and you commit a crime, you got to pay you got to pay the price. And you go out and you go into a neighborhood and you vandalize a place, you burn a place, then you're going to get that time if you're caught. That's just plain and simple. That's called law and order. That's what they don't want. They want to be able to come to your and my house, kick the doors in, come in and do whatever they want, slit our throats, and walk out with everything that we've worked our whole life for. And, you know, it's not going to happen here. And I know it won't happen there. But they think they can. And a lot of people don't prepare for this. And if there's anything I can stress to you tonight, my listeners, is prepare for what is going on. Because this is just a deadly situation that we're living in. You have people without a conscience again. You have people that don't care about anything or anyone but themselves. They've been handed everything in their lives. They find joy in destruction. But, you know, when you go out, you know, I always told my children, if you go out and you get in trouble, don't look for me to bail you out if you're guilty. Because if you're guilty, you're going to stay there. And we had a son that literally we sent to prison. And every time that he went up before the parole board, we were there and told him to keep him. And a lot of people think that's awful, but this boy was responsible for his grandmother's death. Oh, and wow. I have no use for him now. You know, his grandmother, it was my mother-in-law. And his grandmother would have gave him $100 any time he walked through the door if he asked for it. That's just the way she was. There was no reason to go in there and rob her, take her blood pressure medicine, her heart medicine that she needed to live, and rob everything she had. And they done it once, and 30 days later they come back to rob it again. And we saw the signed confessions. They were going to hit her in the head, knock her in the head. She was 87 pounds. She had polio. She walked on crutches. And this is what these people's like. He's no better than them. And, you know, I don't want to ever see him again. I'll be honest with you. I mean, that sounds awful maybe to some people, but you got to stop and think. You know, 5 years for killing somebody. She started having strokes immediately after her medicine was taken, and in 30 days she was gone. And when you act like that, you deserve whatever comes at you. You know, this guy getting 20 years, you know, from what I've been seeing these fires, they should get life because they've been setting buildings on fire with people in them, And those federal buildings had federal agents in them when they were trying to set them on fire. And this guy got off lightly as far as I'm concerned. You know, if I tell you I will pay your bail, I did not tell you I will serve your time. Okay? Right. And I'm, you know, and like I said, I wouldn't bail my own kids out if they done something wrong. So I'd be darned if I'd be bailing out these things. Now, I know some of these politicians, they've been paying their bail through the people that work for them, okay? I mean, it's been all over the news. I know Hollywood's real good about paying their bail and stuff. But I'm not paying their bail, not doing it. And I hope that he gets 20 years. I hope that he doesn't get any time off. And I hope he learns his lesson. Maybe when he comes out, he will have matured enough through that experience that he'll be a productive human being. If not, he goes back now and he does some more. Now he knows that when it comes to serving time, it's up to you to serve your own. And I really hope they really nail him. I do. And you know, if you're out there and you're listening to this and you think, well, these are just kids, you know, misguided kids, you're wrong. You're wrong. These are domestic terrorists. And these are kids that just think they can do anything they want and get away with it. And it's time they learned. And I do think that's why, again, that Adbusters has cooled their heels, because they don't want to get hit with the Sedition Act, because they'll get 20 years. So think about that, folks. You know, Deb, since midnight...
Do they know about, do our listeners know about the Sedition Act, that it's an espionage act that was passed in 1918? Before we move on today, can you just brief on that? Because a lot of people might not understand that what they're putting out here in on paper, on T-shirts, on social media, in the news, the Hollywood stars, they are committing an act of treason, according to this Espionage Act of 1918.
Well, according to these briefs, they talk about starting a revolution. And a revolution always has resistance, and that resistance becomes war. I've never seen a revolution in any country that did not end up in some type of civil war. We had it here twice with Britain. We had it twice with Britain. And we won both of them. They think they're going to come in, these youngsters, and they're going to do this. And they're forgetting there's a lot of old vets and a lot of ex-law enforcement out here that's going to stand in their way. And there's a lot of brave citizens that they'll just step up. You never know how brave you are until you have to go into it. But at that point, then you can hold your head up when you come out. I mean, I've been into stuff and been into situations. And this is rough, folks. This is rough, what's going on. And where I'm at here, Louisville's probably about the roughest place there is. From what I'm hearing from my other people. They're in other towns where these riots are going on, and, you know, they're telling me that this is a real crap show down here. They never seen nothing like it. And, I'm not discounting anything they're going through, because they've went through a lot, and they've went through it a lot more than we have. But at the same time, you know, something's going to have to break. And people's going to have to get off their couch. Again, they're going to have to get away from the idiot box. And they're going to have to step up and tell somebody, I'm ready to join. I want to be together with you guys, because we've got to take our country back. And if that's our organization, you know, Citizens Against Terrorism, that's fine. If it's with another good organization that's not radicalized itself, that's fine. You know, but we have to pull together. We work with other groups, as you well know. And, you know, we're working on something right now with two other groups. But, I mean, we have to come together, because we're not an island. We, you know, a lot of people, I said last night, you know, I'm from down in Kentucky, and I hear a lot of this. I'll take care of my own, you know. Well, taking care of your own is not going to work when you got 20, 30, 50, 100 or more coming to your door. You know, and people in these small towns, they don't realize when they come in here, they're going to come in here like they come into Louisville, or they come into Portland, or they come into New York. Only thing is, down here, they'll be packing guns. And you better get together. You better get ready. If you don't have a weapon, we're going to tell you here in a few minutes why you need to have one. We want to point out some explanations of things that's went on just in the less than 24 hours since midnight last night. And it just keeps happening. And if you're not ready, you're too late. You know, you don't have time to carry a gun with a magazine out of it, nothing in the chamber, if somebody points a gun at you. You better have that magazine loaded. You better have that chamber filled. And you know, I'm not advocating go out and shoot people. What I am advocating is going out and not getting shot. And the best way to do that is be ready to stop the guy that's going to. Because these people don't have a conscience. You're not going to be able to talk to them. You're not going to be able to say, hey, you know, let's work this out. Because they don't want to hear it. All they want is you out of their way so they can have what they want. You know, and I'll tell you, this is the most racist and hate-filled group I've ever seen in my life. I've lived in areas where there was the Ku Klux Klan, and I'll tell you, I'm not a fond of them either, okay? And these people are just as hateful. They're worse. They're worse. The Klan comes in by night, pulls their dirty deeds, and leaves. These people come in to destroy a whole city, and they don't care if it's daylight or dark, they do it. They've burnt up hundreds of thousands of acres of ancient forest across this country. And like you said, Debbie, it's just moving from the west coast to the east. They intend to burn everything down. You know, how many times have we heard the chant, burn the bitch down? How many times have we heard on TV shows when one of them comes on, we're going to burn the system down, we're going to burn the bitch down? They plan on burning every police precinct in the country. That means if you've got a police office of any sort, sheriff's office, marshal's office, or even a little town office, city office, city police office, your community is in danger. Because when they come in and burn that, they tear everything else up to distract so the people setting the fires can get in there, light the fires, and get away. So if you think it's just going to be your police station, or if you think it's just going to be, you know, they're going to miss you, don't bank on it. That's what they thought down, I guess, down in Sand Mountain, Georgia. You know, 1.6 square miles. Now, they had 6,000 people, okay, in 1.6 square miles. That's a dense place. Yeah. And they go into the park, and they march, and, you know, they're peaceful. But when they come into the town, the NFA sees there. They've got their rifles. They're walking up to people's windows. They're demanding reparations on the spot, pointing guns at you in your car. Is this a situation you want to be into? Wouldn't it be much better to have an organization that comes together when these people's coming to town? Because they're stupid enough that they most time let you know they're coming, when they're going to be there. Or if you watch, you can tell. We know how to watch and tell when they're coming. And you can be prepared for them. You know, and that day, the police did not show a presence in Stone Mountain. But the day they showed a presence was the day that the conservatives were there. You know, the Bible-carrying, gun-toting, flag-waving, red, white, and blue patriots were there. Then when Antifa started coming up and hitting them in the back with bats and things of that, skateboards, and, you know, I think they took away this one club that had these big spikes out on it that they could dig into your body with. When they come in there and start doing that stuff and the Patriots fought back, well, here come the police to stop it. And we see this in every city that this has been going on. It's like they don't want people to defend their towns. And, you know, that's a difference between us and a lot of other groups, because we notify the sheriffs, we notify the police officers or whatever, say we're going to be in your town. If trouble starts, we'll be there to help you. We'll be there to aid your officers if they go down. We'll be there to get them behind the lines. We'll be there to guard whatever you want us to guard. But we will be there. And we hope we can work together. And if we get a reply back that, no, we don't want you there, I tell them, well, you don't have a choice, because the people that's going to be there, most of them are citizens of your own town in the surrounding area that back each other up. And, you know, with due respect, sir, as citizens of that community, they have the right to defend it, and they also have the right to have, you know, people from our organization back them up, because that's how we work. And, We're getting everything registered with the government right this minute. It'll all be done by the middle of the week to have an EIN number and everything. And so at that point, we'll probably ask for some support because we need a lot of things to protect your community. And one of the things we really need right now with the things going on is bulletproof vest. We go out there with the officers, you know, we'll stand side by side them. And like I said, we'll rescue them if they need it. We're out in the fray, and I want to see our people well equipped, you know, that way. We provide our weapons. We don't ask nobody to buy our weapons for us. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of cost. And we have a lot of costs just around the organization. When this is all over, Deb, can I take a minute to read our mission statement?
That would be fabulous. Thank you. I want to read the
mission statement, because a lot of people think we're a militia and we're anything but that. So I'd like you to listen tonight. Citizens Against Terrorism mission statement. We are a nationwide organization serving communities across the United States by 1. Assisting law enforcement, first responders, and other government agencies during terrorist attacks, both foreign and domestic, civil unrest, and natural disasters. 2. Protect our communities' lives, homes, businesses, schools, churches, libraries, statues, monuments, cemeteries, private property, county, state, and federal buildings. We foster goodwill in our communities by performing anonymous acts of random kindness. That was 3. 4, provide aid to the needy, such as food for the hungry, utility assistance, money for prescriptions, and things not covered by SNAP, such as toiletries and hygiene products. 5, we believe strongly in the Bill of Rights and the U.S. Constitution as a God-given right to all Americans, regardless of race, creed, religion, sexual preference, political party, and remain neutral on all these issues. We are Americans, and we are united as one. That is our mission statement. If that gives you an idea of what we do, I thought maybe if people knew what that mission statement was, they would be more interested maybe being a part of us or helping to support our operations. So I wanted to get that out. Now, Deb, since midnight last night, there have been over 30 people shot today, and it keeps rising. It was rising as we was getting ready to go on air, if you remember.
Up to 38, Bill, 38.
Oh, wow. It's been a bloody day indeed. Rochester, New York, as far as I know, was the worst. They had 16 people shot at a house party while they were in the yard eating. What do you think about that, Deb?
Well, when I was reading the preliminary early in the morning, and you know we were on the phone briefly, and the police chief, okay, here's the narrative. You're ready for this, Bill. Brace yourself. It's unbelievable. He's blaming COVID-19. Alcohol, unauthorized house parties, and the violence that can happen from being in an unauthorized, illegal group of 100 having a damn backyard Friday night party. Help me, Bill. Help me.
Is this not the United States?
The guy
did I
came
wake
into
up
the
in
back-
Russia or Czechoslovakia or maybe even down there with Maduro in
the
Venezuela?
The guy came into the backyard, as far as I know, and shot him, sprayed bullets. It was like they said, like a war. It was a war. What the hell? What the hell, Bill? Help
they
me.
Described it as a war zone,
yes.
What it sounded like. And,
uh-huh.
You know, I'm sick of these people telling us who we can have at our house, how many we can have at our house, when we can go to church. Praise God for Pastor Greg when he was on. You know,
Amen.
He's a man who stood up and says, I'm keeping my church open. You're going against the Constitution. And if you try to cause us any trouble, we'll have you in court so fast it'll make your head spin.
Right.
And this is a man that will do it. You know, I'm tired of being told I've got to walk around with my face covered. It makes it hard to breathe. It's uncomfortable. And I don't like people's face covered either, because when I can see their face, I can read them. And with the way the situation is right now, you need to be able to look a person in the eye. You need to be able to see their facial expressions, because they telegraph stuff with their face. And it might just save your life being able to see their face. But all they're concerned about is getting us apart, keeping us apart. And see what it is folks, when we don't socialize, when we don't get together, then we can't express our feelings to each other. And we can't make our say heard. And that's what they want. They don't want us to be heard. They don't want us to be seen. They don't want us to be recognized. It's dehumanizing when you can't see another person's face. Okay? And who was it? Was it, I don't know if it was Joe Biden or one of them, said that, no, it was Anthony Fauci. Anthony Fauci. Dear old Dr. Anthony, he's got himself in some hot water. We might cover that in another show. But Anthony Fauci went as far as to say, if you're going to go out and have sex with someone, be sure to keep your mask on.
Oh, boy. Oh, my gosh.
I'm sure that's just going to escalate the mood. I mean,
hey, Bill. Bill, Lord. Did you see him throw the first pitch? They caught him in the stands without his mask on. He can't even stand it for 1 minute for a photo right. op. He had his mask on.
Right. So, I mean, you know, the hypocrisy of this whole thing is ridiculous, folks. And I, for one, unless I'm going in a place, the only way I can get in there is to have that mask on. I don't have it on. You know, the hospital, some of the big box stores, I've been trying to buy from mom and pops, because I don't, you know, I've got a bad taste in my mouth for the box stores since I found out just about all of them are financing these riots in our town. So you can take it from there on that. But let me tell you something, the people that's managing to stay open, the mom and pops, they need your business. They need it bad. And let's save some of the small places. Let's don't make ourselves slaves to the corporate giants.
Yeah.
You know, I could go on this for a while, but I do want to get on down to some of what we have uncovered. But, I mean, really, blaming COVID, I guess those two guys that died in that shooting were COVID deaths now?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if you had COVID and you died of cancer, they've been writing it down as a COVID death. If you had COVID and you got a car wreck going home from being diagnosed, it was a COVID death. They've been caught doing that. Thousands upon thousands. And think about this, people. Think about this. The very people that's telling you to stay home are getting their hair cut. They're going into the beauty salons and the barber shops, and they're getting their hair cut, but yet you can't go into one. If you do get your hair cut in some states, and I think California is one of them, if you get your hair cut in California, you got to get it done out on the sidewalk like you're shearing a dog or a sheep. But if you're in Congress, you get to go inside. You get to bend the rules. You get to break the rules. And then if you get caught, then you get to blame the beautician that you probably put pressure on to get in there to get it done. Okay? You know, and Mayor Lightfoot's the same way. Okay? We've talked about this before. Oh, God, what an ugly woman. she goes and she gets her hair cut, and she gets caught. And what does she say? She says, but I've got to look good. I'm the face of Chicago. Well, if that's the face of Chicago, they need to get a jack-o'-lantern to replace her. Okay? It would be prettier. That woman looks like Beetlejuice.
Absolutely.
No, the bug eyes and all. And she's so worried about her appearance. Man, I've never seen her look good. I mean, you know, and I'm not a pretty feller. I'm not going to tell you I'm a pretty guy. I'm not one of these pretty boys running around here. I don't have my MRFs, and I don't do my nails and have them all shined up. I wear tennis shoes and work boots. I don't wear you know, these Gucci loafers and stuff some of these guys wear, because I'm a man, and I'd just soon have on a pair of jeans and a cowboy shirt and my white hat as I would anything. And I've been known to go to funerals and church and everything in it. You know, of course, take the hat off when I get in the door. But, you know, we're not these gender-neutered people down here where I'm at. And I don't know if that's politically correct or not, but that's a polite way I can explain it. I don't want to go the other way, so if it's wrong, then, you know, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, but your feelings don't... My freedom of speech don't stop where your feelings begin. So we need to all be like that, and we need to learn to tell people that. The other thing I want to do, though, is I want to go on these deaths. Louisville, Kentucky, it's become a violent city, a very violent city, with armed terrorists walking the streets with AR-15s, handguns and of all makes. Okay, they're walking the streets that way. We watched them last night on live feed, remember? We saw that. They was walking around through there with their ARs and, you know, their hog legs, you know, sticking out of their pants and stuff. These are the same people that's rioting and destroying the town. And for the like of me, I don't know what Mayor Fisher's got in his mind. If that was my town, I wouldn't have to be called in on a vote of no confidence and be told to get a plan and get it together. Basically what that is they've warned him, you better get it stopped or you are going to lose your job. And I do believe that's what they're telling him. I wish we could do that with our governor, because our governor's allowing this to go on too. He has the power to override the mayor and to send the guard in. But yet, when they did send the guard in, they took their guns away because they got fired at and they fired back. And somebody in the middle of the protest got hit. And everybody said, oh, well, that was a great businessman. Everybody loved him. Well, he might have been a great businessman. Everybody might have loved him, but he had no business out there in a riot. You don't go out there to just socialize in a riot. You go out there to be part of it. And, you know, I'm sick of these excuses. I'm sick of these excuses for Breonna Taylor and for George Floyd and all these others that, you know, and the dude up in Wisconsin that had the knife, was getting the knife out of the car and he got shot. I'm sick of excuses for him. Those officers have a duty to their family to go home. And I promise you, if somebody's grabbing after a knife after I'm trying to arrest them, I'm going to do the same thing, okay? If they grab for a knife and I know they're going to come at me, arrest or not, I'm going to do the same thing. We have to come to a conclusion in life that ours is worth living as much as anybody else's. You don't have to be the aggressor, folks, but you can be the survivor. You can be the survivor, but you have to have that survivor mentality. Yeah. And, I pray that the ones listening to this show do. I pray that if they need help and instruction and how to become a survivor, maybe they'll join one of our groups and we can help them along that way. You don't want your family and you to be at the hands of these terrorists. Last night, they had a shooting there at Bungalow Joe's Bar and Grill. There were three men shot and killed. I believe it was at the Jefferson Mall on the Outer Loop. I know it was on the south end of town. Michael E. Raines Jr., 33 years old, has been arrested and charged with three counts of murder. And this guy fit the bill of the ones that looked in the street, didn't he? I mean, you see the picture.
Yeah, it looks like, and I don't know if it's a racially motivated thing. It looks suspicious, to say the least.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, this was, from what I'm understanding, it was just like a hit. He just walked in and wasted them, and that was it, and took off. You know, And it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. You can't go out and eat, folks. You can't go out in a place where you can sit down and eat without getting shot. You can't go in someplace and sit down to eat without being harassed. Look at the woman they was, terrifying there in that restaurant, you know, making her raise her fist in solidarity with Antifa. And you could tell that she didn't enjoy that. They'd have to kill me because I stand for what I stand for, and I won't be pressured into doing something else. They would have to kill me, and it might be a nasty little situation if they do. I don't know, folks. I mean, you can't be safe on the streets. You can't be safe in the restaurants. You can't be safe walking in. I've canceled surgeries because I said I'm not going in that big city by myself and walk into some surgical suite or a hospital to have surgery and have to leave my weapon. I won't do it. I told the doctor. I said, I'm not going to do this. And he said, you're one of them crazy Appalachians, aren't you? I said, I sure am. And he said, he laughed. I said, so am I. He said, so am I. He said, I carry mine into my office and secure it once I get in. And I said, well, you're a fool if you're securing it because somebody could come through that door. You know, think about that. It's not an easy feeling, right now, because we know that as patriots and patriot groups, we know there's bounties on us. You think I'm going out my door without something to protect myself? You're wrong. I mean, I'm not afraid to go out my door, but I'm going to have what I need to get back to it. And that's the way the ball rolls. About the same time this murder happened, they had another shooting. They killed one person and injured another too, if you remember. There's not any other details available about that now, but Louisville Metro Police Department asking if you have any information concerning that crime that you call 503-574-5673. 503-574-5673. I believe that's their anonymous tip line. But if you have information to somebody getting murdered and you can help them find the murderer, that's the thing to do, folks. I hear so many people, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to be involved. I'm scared to be involved. Well, you know what? What are you going to do when it's your child or it's your husband or it's your wife? Are you going to want to be involved then? If you get that person off the street now, it might very well save one of your family members. You've got some more stuff to tell us about, Deb.
Oh, yeah. Just to ad lib on that, Bill. I am a victim of a violent crime. A niece was tragically shot 6 times on November 5th of 1994 at 18 years old. And it was a gang violent crime. She was where she shouldn't have been. Now, I'm thinking the things that I'm going to run down quickly because I don't want to take a lot of time. This is from a gun violence archive, and so I don't even have all of them. And by the way, when I was writing this down or jotting it down, there was a Des Moines, Iowa, there was a mall shooting. They found 4 slugs on the ground, or shells, brass shells, in a mall. They haven't found them yet, so I don't even know about that. But I'm suspecting that the people that are out there doing a lot of this are not registered gun owners, which means our Second Amendment rights are absolutely tantamount to be able to carry our weapons if we have them and we know how to use them to protect ourselves. It's coming to that. Now, let me go through Wichita. A shooting, a shot in the leg, injured. This is from midnight last night, and this isn't even all of them. Fort Worth, dead, 19-year-old male, gunshot. Memphis, injured, shot. Dallas, injured, 39-year-old male. Millington, Tennessee, killed, a male, dead. I don't know the details. Knoxville, Tennessee, dead male. Hartford, Connecticut, a dead 24-year-old man. Oshkosh, Wisconsin, sounds like the Kenosha. Injured 36-year-old man found shot in his apartment building, I believe, not lying there. Des Moines, there's an officer involved shooting somebody. We got to follow up. There's probably going to be rioting tonight from this Des Moines situation. So we've got Hartford, Connecticut, injured. Don't know anything about it. Shot, gunshot. Albany, New Albany, Indiana, dead. 44-year-old man. Chicago, Illinois, another drive-by shooting, dead, injured. Chicago, another injury. Driving, he was driving, 41-year-old male, headshot, a shot to the head. And we've got Philly. How about this? We've got a gentleman, a 19-year-old kid walking down the alley, or 16-year-old, and he's shot from a car in the alley. And I'm not sure if that's... Do you believe it? Let me finish here. New Haven, we've got an injury, 19-year-old male exiting his house from the rear, checking his car alarm. So they're maybe, you said that maybe they're triggering. Chicago,
right.
Injury, 27-year-old male, 27-year-old male, 49-year-old female, driving by, they were driving in their cars, and a passing car sprayed all three cars with a bullet. And that's all I got right now, Bill. What do you think?
Well, I think that's quite a lot. I think we ended up with a count of, 38 people shot, several of them killed. And, we've still got 2.5 hours left in a 24-hour time period, and we're almost up to 40 people. This is not natural human behavior. And, folks, let me warn you, if you go out to your car and somebody stuck something on the window or something in the back, don't walk around and get it. Drive off, go to a busy service station, and then get out and get it. If you hear a thumping, they might have put a rock in your hubcap, okay? Don't try to get it. If they throw some money down and maybe use some gum or something to stick it to the pavement, don't bend over to pick that up, because this is when they blindside you. They hide and they wait. Ladies, make sure your passenger doors are locked if you stop to gas your car, because they got a duck and swoop operation going. They're going into your car while you're pumping the gas. You don't even see them open the door. They grab your purse and they're gone. Mm-hmm. Be aware of your surroundings at all times. Keep your head on a swivel, I say. You don't want to be blindsided, okay? Because these are vicious, ruthless people. We had a leader that their daughter kind of got cornered back of this, and it was by a bunch of these people, and she was doing was trying to get air in her tires, and at a gas station, and she managed to go ahead and get out of there, get in her car and get out of there. But then they turned on the guy that was airing his tires in front of her. And so it's vicious. You know, people come up to you like they know you, and the next thing you know, wham, you're on the ground. You're getting beat, maybe shot. You know, this guy, I believe they probably set that car alarm off to get him out of the house, because they was waiting on him, lying in wait to shoot him. So beware of all those type of things. Never just take it for granted. It's a normal thing. Always be suspicious. Always be in a safe place before you check something out. And make sure, please make sure, that you buy a firearm and that you become proficient with it and you know how to protect yourself. The Second Amendment's there for our safety and to be able to protect ourselves and protect ourselves against the government gone awry. And we are seeing that right now. And I'm not going to get into the political side of it, but either side you look at, everybody says it's the government gone awry. Well, that wraps our show for the night. And Deb, I want to thank you for being such a gracious co-host. And I want to thank all of you for calling in and listening to the show, and I pray that God will keep you safe and that you will be ever vigilant in your safety. Watch out for your kids, too. Don't let them, get too far away from you, because it's bad. And until next week, until tomorrow, I want to say God bless you. God bless you, Deb, and God bless the United States of America.
God bless you, Bill.